Welcome to Books on Air, the podcast that you just can't put down. You're about to get a sneak peek at what goes on behind the scenes with authors. We'll find out their secret recipe for creating a book. We'll tell you where they get their ideas. And you will get the inside scoop on their next project. Want to know more? Well, we'll tell you where to find them on social media. Are you ready? Okay, let's meet the author. I am so pleased to introduce you to the author who's with us today. Her name is Alyssa Rose, and she's got a fantasy novel that we're going to talk about that's called Binding Fate. And it's not only her first novel, but it's also the first book in the Fates Align series. Alyssa, welcome.
Hello.
Now, you have the most interesting story about how you started writing. I always think it's important for the listeners to get to know the author just a little bit. And I think that your story is inspirational. And I would hope that if there are people listening to you and I talk, that and maybe they've thought, well, maybe I could write a book one of these days. You had a teacher that at a young age inspired you. She was apparently an amazing creative writing teacher, and she inspired you to start writing at a very young age. Tell me the story about how that happened.
Yes. So I want to say it was about fifth grade, and she was just really just an awesome teacher, very friendly, and she kind of got some influences from her home life because she had a little son at home, and we would just do the funniest creative writing assignments, and we do them in groups, sometimes with our friends, sometimes we did them by ourselves. I remember one of my favorites I did with my friends, she had us read the Polar Express, and as a group we had to come up with our own Polar Express story. And then another time, she actually was inspired by her son again because he was really into Bob the Builder. And then she read a Bob the Builder story and then made us like write our own Bob the Builder stories. But she always did the creative write assignments like that. And she was teaching us not just writing and how to write, but she's also teaching us the different techniques that, you know, to make for good writing. And we, there was like the author's toolbox, you would call it. And you would have to try to have some sort of personification, alliteration, onomatopoeia. So it was also teaching us these keywords as well.
I love this woman. I don't know who she is. I'm a former English teacher myself. And, you know, this is the biggest compliment that a teacher can ever receive, is knowing that they actually made an impact on a student as strong as the impact this teacher made on you. And you've become a teacher yourself, which, I mean, does she continue to inspire you?
Yes, to some degree, yes. Her classroom was always very friendly. That was like the big takeaway, I'd say, from there. It didn't matter who you were, you felt like you were one of her own. And that's the kind of feeling I like to keep in my classroom as well.
I just love it. I'd like to be one of your students or a fly on the wall and watch you teach. Let's talk about the novel. Now, you started this novel also when you were very young.
Yes.
I mean, does your process, did you just see these characters? Did they just sort of come and tap you on the back of your brain and say, hello, here I am, write me down?
To some degree, yes. I was about, I want to say it was eighth grade. I was in middle school and I was a tutor. And I was just waiting for someone to come like I normally did, but I was trying to pass the time. And I just started like practicing my writing, and the introduction sentence of my book was the first sentence I wrote, and I just really liked it, and I just kind of went to see what I can do with it while I was just sitting there practicing. And it didn't go where I thought it was going to go. I ended up tweaking things. And my characters, especially with this book, they kind of wrote themselves in a way. Like, I had an idea as I was writing, oh, this would be good. Okay, now this would be good. But then they kind of just took on their own life form. And I thought it would go one way, but then I'm like, I don't see the character really going that way. And then things changed. And slowly my main character changed from who I thought it was going to be.
So. You know, I've interviewed lots and lots and lots of authors over the years, Alyssa. And one of the things that happens when you've got a person that's a real, true creative spirit is what you just said. I've had authors say to me, I wanted my character to do X, but my character wouldn't let me do that. They made me do Y. It's like the characters write the book in a way for you. They say, no, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. Not that. I wouldn't do that. That was your experience as well, wasn't it?
Yes.
Let's talk about the book. Now, it's called Binding Fate. Let's give our listeners a little overview of what they can expect. This is fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So give me an overview of the book. What happens? Who are they?
Okay, so the book kind of starts off a little slow. I will admit that. But I was kind of like going for, it's like a building suspense as the story progresses. And it kind of starts off in this, it's a like a make-believe world in the kingdom called Bakissa. And it starts off with a princess was born, and the town has come to kind of meet her for the first time. And you have King Francisco with his wife, Queen Evelyn, there, and the little baby, which is Princess Arenal. And then there's another character that is very heavily present in the beginning, and he will continue to be present through the rest of the series. His name is Alvarion, and he is kind of like, in, I guess for lack of a better word, he's like their ward, but not really. He does have his own family, but the king and queen have vowed to give him an education, something that his mother really wanted, but couldn't necessarily do for him herself. So they kind of took him in, and they're giving him an education, and he helps out take care of Princess Arenal. I refer to him in the book as the Royal Watcher. And yeah, as he progresses, so the story kind of follows him more than it does the princess.
You also do a little foreshadowing there at the end of the first chapter, because you talk about this sort of dark something that's hanging over this happy gathering. There's a dark cloud that's hanging over everything. And so you're giving us a little foreshadowing that things are not going to always be sunny and bright, that there's something that's going to happen. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You pull us right into the story. Yeah, you pull us right into the story. You did some really, really creative things in this book. You created a magical code. I thought that was quite something. Tell us a little bit about the magical code in the book.
Yes. Yeah, so the magical code, believe it or not, wasn't originally in the first draft of the book. But as I was going through and doing some reading and some editing, and then actually somebody, a family member had read it, and they were like, but why can't they do this? And why can't they do that? And I was explaining it. And then I realized, well, maybe other people reading wouldn't understand why they can't just use magic because they want to or when they want to. So I decided to add this magical code, and it kind of gives them like a code of conduct, like when it's not okay to use magic, when they can. And it even goes on to mention that not all the people in the town have the ability to use magic. And because of that fact, that's why there's the code that they can't use it as a weapon, or they shouldn't be using it as a weapon.
You also have magical ownership, and you talk about the members of the royal family have magic in their veins. And then you also talk about the ancient family of sorcery. Is the royal family a member of the ancient family of sorcery, or are those two separate things?
Well, initially they were two separate things, but as you read the story, you kind of get, you find out that the queen is a member of the ancient family of sorcery. And yeah.
I love it that you don't let the soldiers, the royal army, they can't use magic.
No, they it's more like when they fight, they have to be real. Like they can't use it. I kind of, my opinion is it'd be too easy. It'd be cheap. If they could just,
I mean, it would be unfair.
it would be, you know, there'd be a lot going on there. And, I like the idea of them actually like battling and dueling it out in a way. The soldiers don't have the ability to use magic. However, their leader does have magic, but again, per the code, he doesn't use it when he's battling others.
And then you came up with rules. I mean, this, I just love this because you sat down and you thought about this. You thought about magic facts and you list those. Then you thought about code of conduct, what's right, and how should people be able to use this special ability. And then you thought about magical ownership, and then you gave them rules. This was very well thought out.
Thank you.
Is there something about the book, is there a favorite part of the book for you?
There's a couple parts that really stick out that I really enjoyed writing. One of them is much farther in the book. It's more toward the end, so I don't want to say too much about it. But that one, I think the chapter is called The Battle.
Mm-hmm.
That really was fun. Looking back, I probably could have had more scenes like the scenes that you'll find in that chapter. It's very, you know, it draws you in. The title is telling you, okay, the battle is coming. Something is going to happen here. And I just, I enjoyed writing the scene, and I enjoyed, like, bringing in all the characters. It kind of brought in, even, like, they weren't all soldiers. They're all present when the battle starts going on. And, that's one of my favorite ones, and the way it kind of ends.
When you sit down to start writing, is it like a movie starts in your head and you see it unfolding in your head, or how does your process work?
It depends more on, I think, me, to be honest. Sometimes I'll write and it's bumpy. Like, there's some scenes where I'm working, even some of the current stories I'm working on, I'll sit and write and I'll get to a part and I'm like, ugh, it's bumpy. So I might try to think about it and keep pressing on, but keeping in mind I may have to come back and tweak that and make it better later. But then once I get past the bumpiness and, like, the thoughts just flow, yes, it kind of does feel like it's just like a movie in my head. I could see it, and I'm trying to write it the way I see it, and trying to balance the descriptions with the actions. Sometimes that can be a bit of a challenge.
Do you write every day?
I do not. I would love to get into writing every day. When I was younger, I did. But now, as an adult, and I do have a little one, I don't always find the time. I am starting to try to find the time. I'm really excited. I cleaned off my desk space. So my plan is to try, maybe once I put her to bed, to try to write then, or do it in the morning, because honestly, I'm more of a morning person anyway.
My head works better in the morning too. It's really funny, isn't it?
yeah, I work much better in the morning. So it's just convincing myself to get up and go down there and maybe get some writing done there. Yeah, because I really would like to get my next book finished.
Do your students know that you're a writer and that you have a published novel?
Some do, because this year, as I'm in middle school, and I was a long-term sub for the school year, and they told me it was, you're teaching science, okay, and then I find out that I also teach a period of reading, and I was like, okay, so in my classroom, there's a bookshelf, I have books on it, and some, and a lot of them are mindful home, because I own so many middle grade, young adult fantasy stories, because that's really, I've been in love with that my whole life, and they'll go back there, and a couple of them are like, ooh, this looks good, and they're like, wait a minute. Some of them figured it out on their own. They're like, wait a minute, this, what? And I was like, yes, that's my book. And then other one, they must have mentioned it to other kids, because then in other classes, they're like, is it true you wrote a book? I'm like, yes, it's back there on my bookshelf.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, I like that you read and you read what you write, because I think that that's one of the things that happens. When you read a lot of a certain genre, like mystery or fiction or whatever genre it is that you prefer, you pick up, the more you read, the more you pick up. And I think that that makes writing not easier, because it's a real creative process. I've written a couple of books myself, and so I know exactly what you're talking about when you talked about things feeling bumpy and rocky, and you write something and you go back tomorrow and you look at it and you think, oh, what was I thinking? Let me rewrite this scene because this doesn't work. I think that the more you read, the smoother your writing gets. Does that make sense?
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. I don't read as much as I used to. That's, and sometimes it makes me sad, because I've loved reading even longer than I've loved writing, if that's even possible. But yeah, I definitely noticed more when I read all the time. I definitely was more inspired to write.
I know that we've piqued the interest of our listeners. Let's tell them where they can get the book. It's available on Amazon. All they have to do is go to Amazon.com and put in Binding Fate, B-I-N-D-I-N-G, Fate, F-A-T-E, by Alyssa Rose, A-L-Y-S-S-A-R-O-S-E. Just click on it. The book comes right up. And they can buy it right there, and they can, there's a, the upper right-hand corner, there's a little open here, and they can read several chapters. I thought you gave them a really generous preview of the book. There's several chapters there. They'll get to know the characters. They'll get to know a little bit about the story. Is it available somewhere else, Alyssa?
It is also available on BarnesandNoble.com. Most of my sales, though, do seem to come from Amazon, but it is also on BarnesandNoble.com.
Now, you can also, I mean, you have a website, and I want us to talk about your website, because I looked at it and went to the website. Can they go to the website and buy it from the website, or will the link take them back to Amazon?
I think it takes them back to Amazon.
Okay. Let's talk about the website. What will they find there?
Okay, so on my website, they'll find a little bit about me, kind of get an idea of what I'm about and what I do also when I'm not writing and apparently not teaching. And they also have a spot on there I really liked. So when I worked with the very nice lady who made my website, we worked together, and I really wanted a spot where they, like, my readers and they could come and they could see, oh, look, she's working on something new. So it kind of gives a list of some of my current projects I'm working on. It doesn't even have them all, but it has the top ones that are currently in the works, where they're at least halfway done, if not more. And there's also my blog. I have a blog on there. And I have been a little lax on my blog lately. I am in the process of trying to come back and be on it at least weekly like I was in the past. So my blog has things where I used to have a series where on Sundays I would do kind of like an interview, but it was more of like I gave them like a questionnaire and they filled it out, and I kind of would promote that on my website. And the author would have to give me like a picture of them, a book, the links to their book. So there's that. I do that with authors. I've also had done some with editors and other bloggers as well. And on my blog, I also have some books I've reviewed. I've also been, as I read, I've been trying to post some book reviews. I've actually have at least two more book reviews to post that I've recently finished. So,
wow, that's great. That sounds so interesting. Now, you're also doing all the social media platforms. I mean, you're on Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram. How can they find you on the social media platforms?
Okay, so my main platforms I use most often would be Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so actually, I think you could just Google it. You probably wouldn't have to go into Instagram and Facebook first. If you do like the at symbol, so my Facebook is at Alyssa Rose Books. And so like if you just put that in and it should pop up and you'd click it and it'll take you to my Facebook page. And then my Instagram is at Alyssa Rose Author.
Well, you are doing such a good job with this. I mean, I just think the book is a perfect escape book. And right now, being able to escape into a fantasy world sounds like something that would just be a divine thing to do. You also have themes that run through Binding Fate, like loyalty and heartbreak and love and betrayal and doing the right thing. If you could leave the authors, the audience, our listeners, with a final thought about the book, why should they pick it up? Why should they read it? What should they expect? Is there something you want them to take away? What final thoughts would you like to leave them with, Alyssa?
So I guess some of my final thoughts would be, especially when it comes to this story, things aren't always what they seem. That's probably a good final thought. Sometimes people aren't what they appear to be, or just circumstances change and it alters things. You also will find there's a lot of plot twists. I recently had someone who read the book and couldn't get over the plot twists, and literally was just, she was just wowed and awe. So I would definitely say expect, if you like a book where there's definitely some things that happen and you're like, oh, wait, what's happening now? And you like to kind of be kept on your toes a bit. But yeah, that's probably what I would say.
You have been absolutely delightful. I feel like I could talk to you for an hour. I've just enjoyed this so much. Thank you so much, Alyssa, for being our guest today on Books on Air.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Books on Air podcast, brought to you on webtalkradio.net. By the way, you can also hear this podcast on iTunes and on iHeartRadio. I'm Suzanne Harris, and I hope that you'll join our next Books on Air podcast. And remember, it's the place to be.